Accepted.
And Senate has committees to order at this time. I'd like to note for the record that it's about 8:40 on January 30th, 1987. And also note that members present are Representatives Boyer, Hanley, Hudson, Grunberg, Kopanen, Ellis, as well as Senators Fisher and Josephson. And Senator Halford in the back. Representative Forshow will also be presenting this morning and will be called forward in just a moment. Also like to note that a member of the Joint Special Committee on Mental Health Trust Lands, in addition to the legislative members present, is Pat Ryan Clasby, a public member, and standing by on teleconference is Clifford Grow, a public member from Anchorage. I'd like to thank you all for coming this morning and remind you to please sign in. We will not be taking testimony from members of the audience here in Juneau or from persons on teleconference, but we would like a record of those attending this morning's meeting. The purpose of our meeting this morning is to accept the final report of the Joint Special Committee on Mental Health Trust Lands and to educate the public as well as our colleagues on the possible effects of inaction. I'd like to thank all of you in Juneau for being with us and your interest in this issue, as well as those participating by teleconference from around the state. And the sites online this morning are Anchorage, Fairbanks, Matsu, Petersburg, Soldotna, Homer, and Bethel. And I would remind those on teleconference that this morning's session is informational only, and because of time constraints, it's unfortunate, but we won't be able to take testimony from around the state at this time. I'd like to call Representative Forshow forward at this time, please, to present the report and discuss possible, discuss introduction of legislation. Representative Forshow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I want to thank you and the members of the committee for providing this forum an opportunity to discuss the report and touch on some legislation that will follow from the report before you today. I guess I have two purposes here. One is to explain very briefly what we were looking at in the interim on mental health trust lands issue and what we've recommended, and hopefully to sell you on a concept that we have arrived at, which I think and the members of our committee feel offer a very attractive, viable way of solving a most complex and difficult situation that the state finds itself in. I'd also say from the onset, while I'm presenting this today, we have in the room many of the members and many of the participants in our 6 months of deliberations during the interim who sat through all of this and are intimately familiar. Senator Halford, of course, was the Senate co-chair, and Senator Fisher served on that committee, Representative Grunberg, and then I know also are many interested parties representing plaintiffs and mental health groups throughout the state are with us. The basis of our deliberations stems from the Weiss decision, which took place in 1985, which basically found that the state erred and violated its trust responsibilities concerning mental health lands that were authorized to be selected by the Congress in federal legislation dating back to 56. When we, in 1978, essentially dissolved our mental health trust lands, which at that time constituted about 1 million acres, many of which were found around urban areas of the state. At that time, there were many competing land use interests for that land, and it was felt that the lands could be better managed, better put to other uses in a more general state, general grant lands for many other purposes, one of which took place that year was a municipal entitlement bill where some of those mental health lands eventually ended up in the ownership of municipal land entitlement. In exchange for this dissolution of the Mental Health Lands Trust, the legislature provided that a 1.5% of all revenues from state lands from that time forward would annually be appropriated for the state's mental health programs. That was in 78. No money was ever appropriated to the mental health trust account set up in lieu of the 1 million acres of land. Litigation followed, and then the court case in 85 came down saying that we had abdicated our trust responsibilities and had not met the federal law 56 mandate in providing a revenue stream from lands to first meet the necessary expenses of the state's mental health program. Last year, we had a couple pieces of legislation designed to try to come up with settlement proposals to the litigation and also to establish a commission to oversee DNR and its handling of mental health trust lands during this interim period while we tried to figure out what to do with the situation we were in. Our committee, a joint committee, studied several different settlement options, as well as looking at our current funding levels for mental health programs. It was really two separate tasks. One was a funding level study, what are mental health needs and what levels of funding are necessary to meet those needs. And the second was to develop possible alternatives and hopefully a recommendation on a settlement option to the pending court suit. First, let me just touch on the settlement option. We had looked at a number of land-based settlement alternatives where we went back, studied what had happened to those million acres of land, looked at how we might reconstitute a land trust, and at every step of the way, problems could be pointed to in that approach. In the report, I'm not going to go through all the details, but you can look through the land status report. Hundreds of thousands of acres of those million acres were put in state parks, state forests, state wildlife refuges. Approximately 43,000 acres have gone to municipalities. Some of those lands, in turn, have gone to third-party interests. An additional 90,000 acres has outright gone to third-party interests through land disposals, land leases. Another 200,000 acres are still in state ownership, but they have less than fee simple leases on or less than fair market value land holds on that, like mining claims, many different kinds of land situations. The situation on the land is much akin to the old proverb about spilled milk. I think our conclusion could be stated that we felt there was no good way of reconstituting a million acres of land as mental health trust land. We also then, of course, looked at combinations of land and money to compensate for land lost. There are a plethora of problems associated with evaluation of those lands, what's the value of lands lost. Compensation by money could reach into the hundreds of millions of dollars, even offset by what we have paid in annually to mental health programs. Substitution of land for lost land, also host of problems. Obviously, many of the lands that were lost were the highest value lands found in around municipal areas, in urban areas of the state. It's very difficult to make up land values with other state lands located far from municipal areas. In addition, then, you have the problem of other competing uses. Obviously, the state parks has its own constituency. Wildlife refuges has its constituency. State forests involve a number of both commercial and non-commercial user interests. And I think you can appreciate the problem in going to land or compensation for land. Towards the end of our deliberations, I don't know if some one person had an inspiration or it was group stumbling or what, but we found ourselves in surprising consensus on an alternative plan of action. And let me just briefly describe this. What we are proposing and will be incorporated in legislation being read across today in the House and the Senate would be a dedicated stream of revenue from state general funds constituting 5% annually of state general fund revenues that would go into a separate segregated account each year, from which the legislature then would annually appropriate monies first for the necessary expenses of the state's mental health program. This mimics very closely the original intent of the 56 Federal Enabling Act, which set up the land as a trust. Again, in 56, what was envisioned was a million acres of land as a, in essence, a dedicated corpus from which revenues from even the sale of those lands and revenues from those lands would, quote, first go to meet the necessary expenses of the state's mental health program. So what we have done would be to substitute that 1 million acres for the 5% dedicated revenue stream from which then the legislature would annually first make allocations to meet the necessary expenses of the mental health program. What we're doing here, of course, is walking a very fine line between a federally mandated program, a Supreme Court decision, and a state constitution prohibition against dedicated funds. We feel, and the attorneys involved feel, that we have successfully done this, that unlike a true dedicated fund, this dedicated revenue stream is not dedicated exclusively for a single purpose. All the monies of this 5% dedication do not necessarily go to mental health programs. They would first be used for mental health programs. After that time, remaining funds would be, you know, used for any other purpose the legislature sees fit. Additionally, it would be the prerogative of the legislature each year to determine what necessary expenses of the mental health program were. Now, the additional feature then that we would add to this proposal in the report and also the legislation would be the creation of a mental health board. Obviously, we all felt there needed to be some oversight in helping the legislature, or even more strongly in recommending to the legislature what the mental health funding needs were annually. We would create a mental health board. They would be composed of representatives from the Department of Health and Social Services, but a majority of the members would represent mental health providers and client groups throughout the state. They would annually review the state's mental health program and recommend to the legislature what they felt in their professional and interest beliefs were the state's mental health needs and the level of funding required to meet those needs. We have also included in the recommendations a waiver of state sovereignty for execution of judgment should the state not segregate these 5% revenue streams and annually appropriate some monies from that stream. And this is kind of the hammer that would be against the state for meeting the letter of the statute. And some of those details on what would be executed against need to be worked out, but some property of state, something that the litigants could go back against the state to, in essence, foreclose on if we did not follow our intent as expressed in the statute. Mr. Chairman, that basically concludes the proposal. In your report, of course, are a lot of the pros and cons of each of several alternatives. I would hasten to add, the downside is grim. I told you that some of the cons involved in trying to reconstitute a 1 million acre mental health trust, as the court envisioned, there is also a downside associated with doing nothing. Doing nothing would get us back into the courtroom very fast, may involve lengthy, costly litigation, in the process of which it's more than likely the state would experience a land freeze, certainly on all mental health land transactions, possibly on all state lands, until a resolution was found. And in the end, I think it was the committee's feeling, certainly my feeling, we might be right back to the starting point again on trying to reconstitute all of that milk that was spilled. And so we really see that there is no way the legislature can avoid the problem, that legislation in implementing this kind of proposal is really the desired route. And miraculously, we have widespread support at this time from those involved in the litigation. So I guess as a plea, I would certainly urge this committee and the body in both houses to look favorably on the proposal. I can also touch briefly on the funding recommendations, or whatever the pleasure is. We can, I can answer some questions on the settlement or just touch briefly on the funding recommendation.
Okay, if you could, if we could take just a brief break, I'd like to note for the record that Senator Jones has joined us, and for those participating by teleconference, once again, the members of the legislature who are sitting here with us at the table are Representatives Boyer, Hudson, Hanley, Grunberg, Kopanen, and Ellis, and Senators Paul Fisher and Joe Josephson. Pat Ryan Clasby, a member, a citizen member, and Senator Halford, I'm sorry, my apologies again. Representative Pat Forshell, we'd like to just thank you for the tremendous amount of work that you and the other members of the committee have put into this, and if you would review for us the those other recommendations. I'd like to also say that Representatives Hudson and Hanley are excused when they need to go to their other appointments, so if you'd proceed, please.
Thank you. Excuse me. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Let me state again clearly that the recommendations on funding are really distinct from the settlement proposal. The settlement proposal does not involve any set amount of money that would be paid in lieu of a trust or paid annually for mental health programs. But in our charge and also in our review of the whole mental health program needs and problems, we did agree that the current level of the state's funding for mental health is sorely neglecting the very real needs of our mentally ill people in Alaska. And in on page 22 of the report, we go through some of those needs and some of those recommendations. Last FY87, we had an approved expenditure of, and let me use a term, core mental health program. Just tentatively here, there is no agreement on what a definition of mental health program is in Alaska. The committee wrestled with this quite a bit. We heard testimony. We did some research back into various federal and state laws. Bottom line conclusion, there is no agreement on what mental health programs are or what the definition of mental health is. But we tried to concentrate our efforts on at least a core of programs that most, if not everyone, agreed certainly constitutes the state's mental health program. In addition, it may be determined that there are other programs that fall into this category. But for discussion purposes, we looked at a core of programs largely, if not exclusively, administered by the Health and Social Service Department. Last year, we have an FY87 funding level in those programs at about $27 million. Last year, in the governor's restrictions, $4 million of that was administratively reduced. And in addition, the FY88 budget not only kept that, but cut also about $800,000 worth of legislative add-ons for specific mental health programs. The committee's recommendation was that, as a minimum, in FY88. That all of those cuts be restored to the 88 budget. So you have a base of what is now in the budget of $22.5 million for these core programs, add back the $4 million, add back the $8.85 million for the legislative add-ons, giving you back to the $27 million figure. Let me add, this is not an increment, this is a return to the FY authorized level. In addition, we would recommend that part of that $4 million of reinstituted money be reallocated. There are several parts of the reallocation, but simply it would reallocate more money from API spending to community mental health centers, primarily for care and treatment of chronically mentally ill people. Our second major recommendation was that the committee strongly support reintroduction and advancement of a bill that was around the last 2 years dealing with chronically mentally ill people. It was felt that there is a very real need to restructure our delivery system for the chronically mentally ill to allow them or to accommodate their treatment in mental community mental health programs. Now there is a 25% fee required of services for use of of community mental health centers. By definition, almost chronically mentally ill people cannot afford this and tend to drop out of the system at the community-based level. We would set up in legislation that will also be introduced today a new type of program delivery system that would not require that 25% individual contribution, but rather would be 100% coverage for the treatment of chronically mentally ill people in community mental health centers. The implementation of this program can utilize the reallocation of the $4 million I discussed earlier, but in addition to really work and to really get more of the people into the program that we need to treat, there needs to be an additional increment to implement that legislation. Last year it had a very high fiscal note. We've had extensive discussions with the department. It's not required that there be an absolute number for the fiscal note, but some level of incremental funding is necessary.
Thank you very much, Chairman. Are there questions from members of the committee? Senator Josephson.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And as the author of SCR 36, I want to commend Representative Courchot and his colleagues for an outstanding service. I have really a couple of questions. The first is a practical matter. Does the committee understand that if your recommendations are adopted, or at least your recommendations for the income stream setup you described, that all pending litigation will end?
Through the chair, Senator Josephson, that would be our hope. There are several steps to that process. The first, though, would be contained in the bill that relates directly to the court suit. In the bill, the Mental Health Lands Trust, let's see, we've changed the word. We had dissolved in there, and we found that was not a correct use of the word, but those lands would become general grant lands. So that is one element of the suit that would be addressed directly in the legislation. Obviously, though, more importantly, the legislation would have to be endorsed by the litigants in the suit. So far, the litigants have viewed this very favorably. They still, of course, it's a class action suit. They need to go back to their clients and explain it, hopefully get the support of the mental health community. In addition, then, what would be envisioned is that this legislation and some type of agreement would be brought back to the court in a request for the suit to be dropped and have some type of consent decree okayed by the court.
To the chair again, I wanted to ask you about the matter of waiver of sovereign immunity that you spoke to. And I think you described that at page 14. The hammer that you spoke of, when is that struck? If it's struck, if a future legislature decides not to allocate all of the 5% in the account to what are deemed mental health purposes, or to take exception to the advice of the mental health board, what are the conditions which let that hammer fall?
Through the chair, Senator Josephson, you use the word allocation. That is the correct way to describe it. If the dedicated revenue stream allocation from all other general revenue monies was not identified annually, that would constitute a violation of statute. If appropriations were not made from that dedicated revenue stream, I would view that as a transgression of the statute, but it is not to say that if all of the 5% monies were not appropriated by the legislature, that would violate the statute. That is not a correct interpretation.
I'm sorry, I'm a little bit confused, Pat. If
I may have confused it.
Suppose that the Mental Health Board says in the year 1999 that mental health needs for the next fiscal year are X, and suppose the 5% equals X, but the legislature in its judgment says that we are only going to appropriate X minus Y. Is that something that the legislature can do without exposing the state to a legal claim, or is that something that the legislature does at its peril because the hammer could fall?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Senator Josephson, yes, that is something the legislature could do that would not invoke the execution of judgment claim, but it might invoke additional litigation. The lawsuit, though, would be different. The lawsuit, as explained to the committee, would take on not a Weiss violation of trust subject matter, but would rather say that the legislature has not lived up to its constitutional obligations of providing for the public welfare of its citizens in an adequate way. In other words, just that we have not met the, quote, necessary expenses of the mental health program. Obviously, there will always be a debate as to what that level is, and I assume the legislature is going to be afforded by the courts some judgment in this. If we were to diverge from adequate levels at some point, we would be subject to a suit based on our response to a clear public need and responsibility. But that is a different suit than the Weiss-type lawsuit that we're in now, and it also would not invoke this hammer that we're calling. That would come if we refuse to segregate the dedicated, establish the dedicated stream, or we chose to ignore that in making our budget decisions. If we threw up our hands and we said one year, shoot, we recognize the needs, they're out there, but we just don't have the money to do it. That's why we only appropriated $15 million, even though the board came in and recommended $60 million.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'll just conclude on this. So the difference in one way is a judgment that says we conscientiously feel that X minus Y is enough for the mental health program versus a kind of generalized glossy statement that, well, we know there's unmet needs out there, but we've got a lot of things to worry about and we don't have enough money. Distinction you're making.
That's right.
I thank you, Chair.
Are there other questions or comments? If not, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Are there questions or comments from citizen members of the Special Interim Committee?
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I'd first like to thank the legislature for the opportunity to sit on the Interim Committee. It's been a learning experience, a growth experience for me and for many in the mental health community. As we approached this potential settlement, the mental health community was concerned about the fact that we are now again putting ourselves in a place of trusting that the legislature will in the future meet the needs of the mental health community in light of the fact that we would be giving up our control or claim, if not control, to the trust land. We approached this with trepidation but with hope. We recognize that litigation is not in the best interest of either the state, the mental health community, or the different land users in the state. We would like, since this is a relatively new concept that has just developed in the last 2 weeks, to have the opportunity as we go through the session to put stronger controls and safeguards in it concerning the makeup, the responsibilities of the mental health board, its relationship to the legislature, what kind of recommendations it should bring to you, how they should be handled. We would also like very much for the legislature to go back to the initial Enabling Act, which says the legislature will establish the mental health program and help define what the mental health program is. My personal fear is that if we do not define it at this time, what we will be faced with if this legislation passes is a board that comes to you with recommendations for one part of what might be considered the mental health program, and other potential user groups would then possibly enter suit saying that they should be part of the trust. It falls to the legislature within the Enabling Act to determine what the program is. We have not been able to address it sufficiently yet in our discussions, and if we pass the legislation without that definition, I think we will only be in further litigation. Again, thank you for the opportunity, and I wish you all luck in this very difficult period.
Thank you, Ms. Clasby. The other citizen member is online in Anchorage, Mr. Cliff Grohl, and I'd like to see if he has any comments. Cliff? Maybe not. I'd like to mention, for the benefit of those online around the state, that any comments or testimony that you all have will be appropriate when the legislation Representative Porchot mentioned comes before our standing committees. If there are no further comments or questions from members of the committee, we'd like to thank you again for the report, and we'll adjourn this meeting, joint meeting of the two HES committees, at 9:10 a.m.